So big wave surfing, that is not what I am. Let's see. I am Andrew Day, and I am a mediocre surfer. So I am still in the shallow end of the surfing world. But Todd is right. Big wave surfing is something that a lot of people do. And chasing the 100-foot wave in surfing is to what in golf shooting a 59 is. Or if we have any bow hunters in the room, shooting a 200-inch buck. The elite of the elite chase it, but few ever achieve it. In 2014, big wave rider Garrett McNamara discovered Nazaré. Has anybody ever heard of it? It's a small town in Portugal, small fishing village on the coast of Portugal. And it's big wave destination between November to February each winter. The size and the unpredictability of the waves of Nazaré are caused by a submarine canyon that is 200 kilometers long and 5 kilometers deep, resulting in waves that average 50 feet. And Todd and Frank are exactly right. You've got to be towed in by a jet ski to even be able to start the ride, with some of those waves reaching the legendary 100 feet. Now think about that. We say 100 feet, but does that really mean anything to us? Now, to some of our real estate guys, it's a 10-story building, right? So imagine riding down a 10-story building with speeds that can go up to 80 miles per hour. No wonder the adrenaline junkies like it. But can you imagine if that wall of water crashed on top of you? Talk about a bad day. Paul, the Apostle Paul, never visited Nazaré, but he did know about the power of another type of wave that could wipe out a man just as quickly. The wave of self-love. Paul knew that men who sought to serve themselves before God would produce characteristics that, left unchecked, could render a leader to be completely ineffective and ultimately not worth following. As we've been studying Paul's letter to his second letter to his young protege, we see that Paul is equipping Timothy to become a better leader. Paul's leadership training does not exclusively center on encouragements, but he also identifies qualities that can lead to character wipeouts. Before we start our time together, I just want to come to you guys in a spirit of humility. You know, like Paul, I really feel sometimes I'm chief among sinners. You know, I've got a past that I'm not proud of, and I am imperfect today as a husband, as a father, as a friend, and most importantly, as a disciple of Jesus. So please hear me. I am not perfect, and I fail often. Just ask my wife. But I've also experienced God's grace and mercy over my life, and it's transformed my spirit and my inner man. So this morning, I'm going to attempt to tackle a challenging subject: self-importance and the battle between flesh in the spirit, of which I'm very equipped to do as each day I battle my flesh and my spirit. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, so we can better understand together the potential character pitfalls of self-importance and its aftermath. But understand this, that in these last days, there will come times of difficulty. Does that sound right? Are we facing some difficult time, men? You betcha. In many places throughout Scripture, it speaks of the last days. And in each case, you will find that it is applicable to the day and age in which we live. Isn't that amazing that God's Word never grows stale? I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news, right? And you will see Paul's warning flashing across today's headline. From cancel culture, to the mass shootings, to the turnover of Roe v. Wade, unchecked inflation threatening to throw us into a major recession and a war that's half a world away that is leading to potential food shortages and energy shortages right here at home. And what does that do? I mean, it can be discouraging. It can be downright scary. But we only need to look at Esther chapter 4, verse 14, to get some encouragement. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Did you catch that last statement? Each of us were created and purposed for such a time as this. It is by no mistake that each of us are here right now in this very present moment. And so Paul is warning Timothy and the early church of certain things that will be transpiring in the last days, which they cannot stay silent or ignore. Let's go to 3, verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, and to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Paul's not calling out the worldly calamities. He's calling out the actions of the people that will lead to the turmoil which we see flashing across our screens. The cause of these perilous times is found in the things that the people will be doing. And at the top of that list, men will be lovers of their own selves. Each morning we wake up, we should realize that we are at war with ourselves. In the right corner, we have our own desires, weighing in at a big 200 pounds. And, you know, throughout Scripture, this is described as the flesh. It's big, it's intimidating, it's got a loud voice, and it wants your attention. And in the left corner, we have our spirit that seeks to serve God above others, but it does not yell, and it is not boastful. And guess what? We can't serve two masters. Believe me, I've tried. And every day we wake up and decide, either consciously or subconsciously, am I going to serve myself, or am I going to surrender to God's will? Our flesh represents our own personal desires, which are carnivorous, because they are never satisfied. And we feed it with our identity. What is our job? What's my position? Who are my friends? We feed it with security. How much do we have in our retirement accounts? Where do we live? Or we dull it with numbness. You know, that drink after a long day. But guys, all of those are temporary and do not last. You know, we feed our flesh with things that we think are applicable and that will protect us. Just like the surfer that's going out into the surf, realizing that he's going to be in the elements each day, he's going to take, or she, spray it on, put it on, because it makes us secure, doesn't it? As we go out in the world, we feel that we're now covered. We have something that is giving us security. But guess what? The world just washes it away. Good for 4 hours. Well, that's not going to make it through a whole day, is it? Someone has a better job, or even worse, for some of our older guys in the room, somebody your age is already retired. The market just tanked 20%. No, check that, 25%. So now I can't retire at 65. I'm going to have to work another 5 years. And that drink, it always wears off. And we wake up with the same anxiety that we tried to numb the night before. So as men who seek to serve ourselves before God, we continue to be unsatisfied because we are placing our hope in something that is unstable and that can never quench our truest desire. Making ourselves our priority of our own lives leaves us whitewashed and not furthering the kingdom. Let's just look at Jesus' own words and his warning to the Pharisees found in Luke 11:44. Woe to you. Okay? That's a warning. Woe. Heads up. Because you are like unmarked graves, which people will walk over without knowing it. And in Matthew 23, Jesus goes on even further. Woe to you, teachers and law and law of the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. We live, men, in a culture of unmarked graves. So as leaders who are disciples of Jesus, we must be different. Continue with me in Timothy to verses 3 and 4 to see the reflections of these men that are living for themselves. They will be without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That last portion of verse 4 really stands out, doesn't it? took my breath away. They will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I don't know about you, but I like comfort, and I certainly like having some pleasures. But pleasures, if that's our focus, can become our God. A primary focus and a pursuit in life. And when it does, it takes our hearts away from the Lord. The love of pleasure has the potential of robbing the soul of its love of the Lord. Remember, we can't serve two masters. In the parable of the sower, remember that cares, riches, and pleasures were the thorns that choked out the word of God. Many of us tend to put God in a box that is convenient for our lifestyle. Certain days of the week, maybe a Sunday, maybe even Friday morning. Or certain times of the day. When I get up, I say a prayer, and when I end my day, I say a prayer. But you know what? We're putting God in a box so we can check a box. But that is not what our Abba Father wants with us. He wants a relationship. He designed you and He designed me to have relationship. So He wants to continually develop us because He is not transforming us just for today. He is preparing our spirits for eternity. But we need to understand this, that He cannot grow us if He does not stretch us. The Word tells us that we should hold ourselves in the world, not the Word, that we should hold ourselves in with facelifts, right, when we're getting older, want to look younger. Spanx, maybe those are more for the women than men, but maybe we're just sucking in a little bit. Why? So we can hide our imperfections. But God, He wants to stretch us. Why? Not to disfigure us or dismember us, because He wants to deposit more into you. So how should we respond to the world that wants to cover everything up? Well, each morning we can take what separates us from God to His feet, into His throne room, so He can free us from the very things that try to ensnare us. James 1 tells us that all we have to do is ask for wisdom, and our Father will not only give, but lavishly gift it to us. We just got to ask, man. So let's be leaders who live in the truth that we are fully accepted by our Maker. But be aware, our self-worth is exactly the battleground where the enemy loves to attack us. Do you know that Satan's first tried to wipe out Jesus in the desert? Where it was? I think a lot of us have probably overlooked it. It comes right before the first of the three temptations. Look at Matthew 4, verses 3. Give you a second to get there because I think this is really important. This is before the three temptations, man. When Satan approaches Jesus in the desert, he says, "If you are the Son of God." If you are the Son of God. You see what he was doing there? Satan was questioning Jesus' identity. Jesus, are you the Son of God? If, then, and then the temptations came, right? And that is what the enemy loves to whisper into our ears. You're not worthy. Your past is leaving you way too tainted, Andrew. God gave up on you a long time ago. He's abandoned you. He's forgotten about you. Hey, you need to live for yourself. Go ahead, do it. You deserve it. That little whisper is why many of us default to the identities and behavior patterns Paul warns against. Arrogant, pretentious, and money-focused. Why? Because we feel isolated and unworthy, and they give us a false sense of security. But remember, they're only temporary. And they're an illusion that we actually have control. But they are all lies, which will leave you unfulfilled and swimming in an unstable environment. The truth, you and I are adopted sons of the King. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? We are created for purpose and on purpose, and we are loved unconditionally. I want you to bury that in your hearts, men. You are created for purpose and on purpose, and you are loved unconditionally. So let's begin to encourage one another to live from contentment, not for contentment. It's a big difference. So when you accept that you are accepted, it will empower you to serve in ways that you've never experienced before. As our very own Gene Mason encouraged us last week in the Leadership Circles Monday Jumpstart. And if you're not a part of it, guys, you're missing out on some amazing encouragement and content that he drips on us each and every week. Here's what he said and encouraged us with. Character can't be faked, can't be bought, outsourced, dictated, or delegated. Rather, it is a reflection of your words and actions that defines who you are. You know what? Big wave riders. And I don't really have an aspiration to be one. I don't want a 10-story building come crashing over me, especially since I'm still in the shallow end. But guess what? Big wave riders aren't born, men. They are developed. And as leaders, we can use our experience and our influence to develop the next generation. We are living in a world that is increasingly secular. You feel it? And at times, it appears void of God. But aren't we called to be salt and light? That means we are called to penetrate the depths of society at all levels, just like Jesus did with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. No one is off limits. We should not cower in the corner, but we should go out into the darkness and let our light shine. From the schoolroom to the boardroom and everywhere in between, let's be that generation that changes the trajectory of our country. Because right now, it is going the wrong direction. Let us be husbands, fathers, friends that are not afraid to paddle out into the surf. But paddling out of the surf, guys, is not easy. You must go through the fray before you can get to the outside of the break, which can mean taking big waves head on. Do you know that some of the world's best big wave riders can hold their breath for 5 minutes? And your average surfer can hold their breath from anywhere between 30 seconds to 2 minutes underwater. Improving your breath hold isn't just about surviving wipeouts and hold downs, though. It's about giving you confidence in the water. It's about stretching your lungs so you can go farther. Remember, God wants to stretch us so he can put more in us, so you don't stay where you are. So as I sit here in front of you this morning, and I love being up here, guys, and I love being in a room with all of you, I'm in a stretching season. God is ministering to my spirit right now. And in these past days and weeks and several months, and he's trying to grow me. He wants me focused on today and not tomorrow. That is painful because I don't see a clear way out of where I am today. But God has been faithful to me and my family, and I know he will provide for all of our needs, just like he has done in the past. But I have to trust him. And during this growing season, I've been meditating on a verse from Mark 2, verse 4. And it's when four men brought their friends to Jesus in You know the story. It's a paralytic. And they couldn't get to Jesus because there was a big crowd around him because everyone wanted to be healed and hear his teaching. And they lowered that paralytic through the roof to Jesus. And this is what's really got me just kind of stopped and where I've just been meditating and camped out. Verse 5 says, Jesus recognized the faith of these men. Jesus, the Messiah, the star breather, he recognized the faith of these men. Why? Because they didn't back down when the surf in front of them seemed unconquerable. No, they paddled around and found a new way to get their friend in front of Jesus. They would not be denied. They knew it was worth the risk. So the challenge this week is to examine and meditate on this question. As the waves of life are crashing around you, does Jesus recognize your faith and trust in him? It's a real question. Or, put another way, are you putting your trust in yourself? Are you putting your trust in Jesus? And I'm not only talking about the big storms. I'm talking about every single day. Because it's a daily walk. So, following Jesus is a constant process, isn't it? But please hear and receive God's truth. He stretches you so you can carry immeasurably more and ride bigger waves than you could ever ask or imagine. If you will only choose obedience to him. So let's not retreat from a world that we've been called to love. We've been equipped and trained for a time such as this. So men, grab your boards and paddle head on out into that breaking surf. And you will change eternity. Let us have prayer. Father God, this was a hard message. It's hard to know that there are so many character pitfalls that is so easy to slip into. And we are flesh. But when we take your Son, we gain your Holy Spirit. And when we gain your Holy Spirit, we gain his resurrection power. And that power allows us to defeat the evil one. Jesus said for a reason that I must leave so you may have something greater. And that something greater is the Holy Spirit. And I know that there are waves crashing around a number of the men in this room. And those waves might not be visible to many of us. They might be internal waves, waves of doubt, anxiety, of being afraid. But Jesus, you are the wave walker. And through your command and by your command, you can calm waves. I know for myself that for many years I asked you to calm the rage that was inside of me. And you did. You were faithful to that. So I just pray for the men here that are today, the men that are online, and the men that will hear this message in the future, that you are worthy of our trust. You are sovereign. You are good. You are faithful. And ultimately, you are not trying to dismember us, but you are trying to build us up so we may enjoy eternal life for you in paradise. We ask this and pray this in your most powerful and matchless name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables, men. Thank you.